preaching of the Word of God. I want you to turn your Bibles to two places. The first place is a familiar passage in Romans chapter number 10. I'm sorry, Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. And when you get to Romans chapter number 12, the first two verses, I want you to hold your finger there and turn also to Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1 and Romans chapter number 12. We're going to read first in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and this is a familiar passage. You've probably heard preaching on this before. Some of you maybe even can quote this same verse. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, if you'd look at Galatians chapter number 1, verse number 10, the Bible says this, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now you might say, well, Brother Kyle, what's the significance? We know what Romans chapter 12 is talking about. What about this verse here? Well, the Apostle Paul is giving an ultimatum. He's giving a question that has two sides. Either you're living your life to serve and persuade man, or you're living your life to serve and please God. The Apostle Paul is asking the question here to the Church of Galatia, but this is a question we need to ask ourselves as well. And he said, please, I should not be the servant of Christ. You know, Jesus Christ said something similar when he said very simply, you cannot serve God and mammon. You know, sometimes we have this idea that we'll go to church on Sunday, we will go to church on Wednesday, and we'll serve God on those days, but other days of the week, no, those are my days, and I'm going to do what I want to do. And it doesn't work that way. You're either serving and pleasing God, or you're not. There is no in-between. The Apostle Paul furthers this when he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. And we heard that before. We've heard that, okay, being a living sacrifice, that means to be dedicated to God 100%. Yeah, Brother Kyle, I know exactly what you're talking about. We've heard it before. Okay, great, we know what it's talking about, but now we're going to take it a step further in this sermon tonight. What does it take to really live for God? Some of you maybe have been in church for a long time and you know, yeah, I should give my life for God, and God deserves my best because he died on the cross to pay for my sins. But let me ask you this question. Do you really know what it takes to live for God in society today? Because there's a lot of people that don't. And they're okay with just living on the fence. They're okay with pleasing their groups of friends that they know they have no business being around, but at the same time trying to please God, and that does not work. It doesn't. You're trying to juggle Bible reading, prayer, and being faithful to church with the filth of the world, and that'll never work. It's either you're going to step out and say, you know what? I'm going to step on this side of the fence, and I'm going to step on this side of the grass, and I'm going to serve God, and I'm going to forsake the things of the world, and I'm going to get rid of the friends I shouldn't be hanging around with. I'm going to get rid of the ungodly influences in my life. Or you're going to take a step back and say, well, I'm not really going to serve God. There is no in-between. But teenagers try to make it seem like there can be an in-between, but there is not. And Satan's really good at blinding the eyes of individuals and making it seem like, hey, it's okay, just serve God on Sundays. The rest of the week is all yours. That's not the way it works. So teenager, tonight, in the next 20, 25 minutes or so, all I ask is this, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, And for the next 20, 30 minutes, you just pay attention the very best you can. Because this is very important. And I mean that. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to give away candy. We're going to have pizza. We're going to have a lot of fun. But please, for the next 20, 30 minutes, if your phone vibrates, don't touch it. If someone next to you tries to talk to you, ignore them. And just try to focus these next few moments. I guarantee you God would want it. God does want that. So let's please the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. And what a joy and privilege it is to be in your house tonight, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for these groups of teenagers. Lord, they could have been doing any other thing tonight, but Lord, they chose to be in your house for a teen rally on a Friday evening. And God, I pray, number one, that you bless them for their faithfulness in doing so. But also, Father God, I pray, Lord, that this message would speak to the hearts of not even just teenagers, but everybody in this room tonight. Lord, help us to understand what it takes to really be sold out and dedicated to you, to understand what it takes to really please you with our lives. Father God, I pray that you'd receive the glory, the honor, and the praise for everything else that's going to take place this evening as well. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask you a question. If I were to say, okay, we're going to prepare to go fishing, someone tell me one thing you need. You need a rod. That's pretty important. You need bait. What else? Girls? You need a chair, a boat, right? Something you sit on, probably. What else? Weights. Yeah, you need weights to put on the line, possibly. Yeah, absolutely. Possible life jacket. Yeah, well, give me something else. Keep going. Hooks. Yeah, you need hook. If you have bait and a rod, I mean, I guess you could try to tie the line on the... You need line, too, don't you? Something else. Yes. You need fish. Yeah, you got to go to a place that has fish or, you know... You need Josiah to show you good spots. There you go. That's right. You have to have a knowledge of where to fish. So I can't just go throw a fishing rod in my bathtub, right? Well, it's one fish will jump on it, right? No, that's not going to work. You got to know where to fish. Okay, you can't just expect to throw it on water and it's going to be all right. So there's a lot of things you're going to need. All right, if you're going to prepare to go hunting. Give me something you need. You need a gun or a bow, right? Warm clothes if you're going in the cold. You need a deer stand, yeah.
Unless you're really good at running from the parks department, you need your license.
You need your license, yeah. That's a pretty important thing. Bullets, yeah. Gun's pretty useless without any ammunition. A bow is pretty useless without any arrows. You know? Something else. Orange jacket, camouflage, you know. I mean, there's a lot of things you need for hunting. Usually a good hunter, when they put their deer stand ahead of time up and they bait the area with corn and all those different things, and they know what it takes to prepare for hunting. They wake up really early and they're out many, many hours and they're as still as possible. We know what it takes to prepare. We know what it takes to go fishing. We know what it takes to go hunting. We know what it takes to play our favorite video game or whatever it is. We know all the controls, and we know all the moves, and we know the maps, and we know how to, you know, if you're playing a sports game, you know what the plays that are really going to do the best for your team. You know those things. Why? Because you practice. You put the time in. You prepare. What about serving God? You see, we know the basics. Oh, I got to read my Bible. Well, I got to pray. I got to go to church. Tonight I'm going to give you four very simple things, and you all start with the letter C, about what it takes to really live for God and please God. Tonight I want to see number one. The very first thing we're going to look at. If we're going to serve God and live for God and really understand what it takes, how come we can understand almost to a science how to do everything in this world, but yet we don't know how to serve God? We don't know what the Bible says. We don't know what to go about it. The first thing you need is you need commitment. Point number one is need commitment. If you're going to give God your all, your everything, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. If you're going to follow through when the Apostle Paul asks the question in Galatians chapter 1, verse number 10, for do I persuade men or God? How are you going to fall into persuading and living for God more than trying to persuade man? Trying to live for man, trying to live for yourself. Well, it's going to take some commitment. And under that commitment, sometimes it's going to take sacrifice. When I think of commitment, I think of an individual like Abraham in the Bible. Remember, Abraham was called out of Ur of Chaldees in the book of Genesis. And God told Abraham, okay, Abraham, I want you to pack up everything you have and I want you to go somewhere. Go to a place that I'm going to show you. Abraham didn't know where he was going if you read that passage. At first. God just told him, you're going to go to a place I will show you. Do you know what it took from Abraham? It took commitment. What about Noah? What did it take from Noah? It took commitment to build an ark, didn't it? When God told Noah that it was going to rain, well, guess what? It's never rained in the history of mankind before. Newsflash, I don't know if you knew that. Noah didn't know what rain was. People have never experienced rain before. And God comes to Noah and says, Noah, not only do I want you to build an ark, and this is the dimensions I want to build it, but it's going to rain. Noah probably said, God, that's great. What's rain? But you know what Noah did? Noah did it. He built that ark. You know what that took? Commitment. You look at any individual who lived for God and served God and was successful in doing it, every single one of them had to be, and they were, committed. Were they perfect? No. Noah was not perfect. Abraham was not perfect. Moses wasn't perfect. And the list goes on and on and on. There was only one perfect person, that was Jesus Christ. But even though they had their shortcomings, they did their best to be as committed to God as they could. Do you know what's still true today? Hey, if we're going to get some young people that are really going to make a difference in society, do you realize, and this might scare some of you, but you are the future of this country. You're the future. This nation's depending on you and your generation. Who's going to be the generation that's going to lead us back to the Lord? If it's going to be your generation, you know what it's going to take? Some young people are going to say, hey, you know what? I'll be committed. I'll be committed if no one else would. Psalm 37:5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Proverbs 16:3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. See, why is it we can be committed, so committed to the things of the world? We're committed to our jobs. We're committed to the sports we play. We're committed to all these other things. We're committed, and we'll spend 5, 6, 7 hours playing video games. We're committed to that. But we can't commit 5 minutes to read our Bibles. Oh, but we'll sing songs like, oh, how I love Jesus. Do we really? Do we really love Christ as much as we say we do? When we're not showing him the commitment that he deserves. Because let me tell you something. Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins. He's given me a home in heaven, and I don't deserve it. Neither do you. Neither does anyone in the world. But he freely gave them a free gift. He gave me a free gift that I don't deserve, and I thank God for it. Let me say this. Because Jesus gave me everything, he deserves my everything. Not 5%, not 10%, not 50%, not 90%, 100%. Oh, well, Brother Kyle, you don't understand. I have all these friends that I really like hanging out with. No, 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 no. What are you committed to? I can tell you what you're committed to very easily if you just tell me what you do in one day. Tell me what your schedule is in the course of a normal day in your life, and I'll tell you what you're committed to. Show me your friends, and I'll show you what you're committed to. Show me your faithfulness to church. Show me how much you read your Bible, and I'll show you what you're committed to. Unfortunately, do you know there's a lot of young people that could care less about being committed to God today? Oh, Brother Kyle, you understand, I got this nice job. I'm getting paid a lot of money. And I'm saving up for that gaming console. Let me tell you something a little about that. I was in high school, too, at one point. But so, Brother Kyle, I was like yesterday, right? Well, I'll be 30 next Saturday. I graduated high school in 2010. 12 years ago, I graduated. Not that long ago. But I remember when I was a senior in high school. Junior, senior, I worked at a job. I was a waiter in a restaurant. And I worked after school. Pretty much almost every day. Weekends were especially good. Sometimes, being a waiter, I'd get cash tips. And during the weekend, I would get sometimes $150, $200 in cash on a Friday. And then Saturday, I'd just do it all over again and get another $150, $200. That's $300 to $400 in two nights. And for a 16, 17, 18-year-old, tell you what, that's good money. I'm sure some of you are thinking right now, I wouldn't mind getting a spare, you know, $300-$400 just for 2 days worth of work. And I remember this. I remember I was working at that job for several weeks, maybe a couple months at that time, and I remember going to GameStop. I'll never forget it. I remember walking into GameStop. I didn't have a debit card. I walked in with a roll of cash. And this is when Xbox 360 first came out. Okay, I'm showing. People are like, oh, Xbox 360, that's a piece of garbage now. It kind of is. But when it was the big shebang when it first came out. I remember walking in, buying a brand new Xbox 360, two nice Elite controllers, about 5-6 games. It was like, and the Xbox 360 was like $450. And the game, I put down $800-something in cash. Just paid it like nothing. Can I just say this? It's one of my biggest regrets I look back on my senior year. Because what's that doing me now? Nothing. I was so committed to it, though. And I was good at the games. I played a ton of Halo. I was really good at it. Ask me where that gets me now. Nowhere. Do you think when I stand before Jesus Christ one day, he's going to care how much money I spent on an Xbox 360? Not a chance in the world. He's not going to care one bit. No, the only things that will last are the things I've done for Christ. And I can tell you this, unfortunately, sometimes in my junior, senior years of high school, I wasted a lot. And I could have done so much more. I don't have many regrets in my life. I look at many of the things I've done in my life as using them as learning experiences, not just for my life, but for my children, as the Lord uses me to preach to teenagers. But that would be one of the things I would say, yeah, I kind of really messed up on. Because I can't get those years back. There's no reset button like you have on your phone when your phone goes a little haywire. It starts freezing and you're like, oh, this isn't working. So I'm just going to reset it and everything is going to be okay now. Life doesn't have that. You have one chance. What are you committed to? Maybe you have a job. Maybe you have someone in your life. Maybe you have a career aspiration. And man, you're committed to it. Let me ask you this question. Where is God in any of that decision making? If your first idea is what you want to do for your career and not what God would want you to do, you're committed to the wrong thing. I'll just say it point blank. You might say, well, Brother Kyle, does God want everyone to go in full-time ministry? No. God wants a lot of people. Some people do. But does 100% of the teenagers go into full-time ministry? No, God needs Christian laymen. God needs godly plumbers and godly individuals who work with computers and doctors. And God needs those godly people in those areas as well. But we use that as an excuse to say, well, I'll just do one of those things. I'm not going to do what God wants me to do. I've seen many teenagers who God calls to do something, and they're committed to it. And then they get later in their high school years, and they take a step back from that commitment because they see the dollar signs. You see the universities open up. They get the freedom of having their own vehicle and having a license and getting a job, and they sniff that independence just a little bit, and all of a sudden God is now on the back burner. And no longer do they want to be the missionary or the preacher or the Christian school teacher or the pastor's wife that God wanted them to be originally. You know why? Because they're not as committed. And they've walked back on it. What are you committed to tonight, Christian? Young person, tonight, what's going through your mind that it's flowing? Is God involved in any of your decision-making? Is your preacher or your youth pastor involved in your decision-making? The Bible says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. What are you committed to? We understand, Brother Kyle, that boy's really cute. I want to be committed to him. Brother Kyle, that girl, man, she's beautiful. I'm going to be committed to her. What about God in your life? So, I want to see number two. Talk about what it takes to live for God. Number one was commitment. Number two, if you're going to understand what it takes to really live for God, you need to be and have character. Character. Now, that's a word that's not really used many times in society today, especially with young people. Having character. The Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. But nowadays, young people would rather trade in that good name just for a good time, just for a little bit. Oh, I want just a good time with my friends. I don't care about having a good name anymore. I'll go ahead and get drunk and do drugs and hang out with my friends late at night when I shouldn't. I'll do that. That's all right. You are destroying your character. Tell me why. The fact that it is people in Hollywood, they have all the money. They have the popularity. And yet you still find them depressed and sad, and some of them committing suicide. Could it be that those things don't give you joy? You can put all the money you want in your bank account right now. And some of you might think, yeah, I'll take all the money in my bank account right now. It'd be great. What happens when you run out of stuff to buy? You know, I could tell how we're never satisfied. Because when the next great model of these comes out, guess what you want? You want a new one. Does anyone in here have a PlayStation 5? Does anyone have a PlayStation 4? Does anyone not care, could care less about them? Okay, a couple of you. Do you know why they keep making more models? It's not the fact that they want to be the technologically advanced company. No, it's because people keep buying the products. You know why? Because you might say, yeah, I love my PlayStation 5. And there's going to be a lot of people who still want the PlayStation 5. And but I guarantee you this, 5 years from now, when the PlayStation 6 finally comes out, guess who's going to be lining up at the door? The people who own the PS5. You know why? Because we're never satisfied with what we have. You know what that shows? Our character. Our thankfulness. Young person, are you willing to sell your soul to Satan just for a good time for a little bit? I said, sell your soul? What do you mean? I'm just throwing it all away. Some of you know what the Bible says. And you try to play dumb. You try to pretend you don't know what the Bible says. But there's some of you I know. And you know. You know the Bible says that you shouldn't do things and you should do certain things. And there's a line between right and wrong. But you do it anyway. Why? Because of your character. Isn't what it should be. Again, it says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver or gold. What about you? Hey, that job that comes along that wants to take you out of church and because you're young and wants to take away from youth group activities and things like that, don't do it. I guarantee this, you give the devil an inch, he will take a mile. You start filling your schedule with all these things that you want to do, and pretty soon, guess what gets neglected? Your Bible reading, your prayer time, your church attendance. Let me just say this. The things of the world aren't worth destroying your character over. Do you realize you can take time in your whole life to build your character? But it takes one decision to destroy it all. That's why it's so important to guard and protect your character. Ladies, I'm going to talk to you for 1 second. Okay? If a guy comes along and tries to woo you, and all he cares about is your looks, and he doesn't care about anything about you, anything else, run away. Get away from him. He's not worth it. He wants one thing and one thing only from you. And I don't have to get into specifics. I'm trying to be plain and trying to protect you. And guys, if you try to do that, that's all you care about, you're showing your character very plainly. Right. Guard your character at all costs. Yeah. Well, so how do I do that? How do I guard something that's precious like that? That's more valuable than gold or silver. How do I protect my character? I can tell you very simply, very easily, how you protect your character. Very simply, get in the Word of God. Have a time, have a spirit of prayer about you. Surround yourselves with people that are going to build your character, not destroy it. Hey, if there's people in your life that all they do is swear and talk about drinking and jokes and all those things, let me tell you this, very simply, get them out of your life. Because they aren't your real friends. They're not your real friends. I can guarantee you this, when they get what they want out of you, they will throw you to the curb quicker than you can ever blink. You don't believe me, just live your life and you'll find out. But I'm saying this so you don't find out the hard way. Also, let me say this. Your character is worth a whole lot more than anything this world has to offer. Protect it. Because we need to understand, if we're really going to live for God the way God needs us to, that needs to be protected at all costs. We need to maintain godly character. That means when you're at work, the way you act, the words you say, when you're at school, the way you act, the words you say, bring glory and honor to God. That shows forth your character. Someone with a godly character doesn't use foul language, watches what they watch and what they listen to and all those different things. Why? Because they want to maintain their character. I need to move quickly. I want you to see number three. I said, number one, if we're really going to understand what it takes to live for God and being that living sacrifice and living for God instead of trying just to please man in our life, we need to have commitment. We need to maintain our godly character. Number three, we need to have courage. Courage. This is something that's important. Because courage is something that we need in our life. To tell the people about Christ. And also, you know what young people need to do sometimes? Have courage to stand up and do right when no one else will. You want to say, Brother Kai, you don't understand my friends, what they do. I don't care about what your friends do. I'm talking about what you do. If your friends aren't living right, maybe you need to be the one to step out, take a stand and say, no, this is how I'm living. I can't be influenced by that anymore. But you know why we don't do that? Because we like popularity. That's our flesh. We enjoy being liked and appreciated and having a camaraderie with other people and having people that are in our posse, so to speak. And we don't want to break that up. We don't want to lose them. But if they're doing wrong, can I just say this? It's not worth it. Where are the young people that are going to say, hey, you know what? No. I'm going to step out, and I'm going to take a stand when no one else will. I'll be the one to do what's right when no one else will. Reminds me, in the book of 1 Samuel, no one else wanted to go fight Goliath. No one had the courage to. Can't really blame anyone. Goliath stood over 9 foot tall. He was a mammoth of an individual. Can you imagine someone being 9 foot tall in the NBA today? This would probably be the most dominant player to ever live if he stays healthy. 9 feet tall. Goliath wasn't just 9 feet tall and skin and bones, by the way, either. He was a huge man. No one fought him. King Saul, who stood head and shoulders above the rest, he wouldn't go fight him. All of David's brothers, who were taller and military men, they wouldn't go fight him. Then in comes old David, who wasn't there to fight. He was originally there just to deliver some food for his brothers. And he heard Goliath defiling the armies of the living God. He said, is anyone going to go fight this guy? Oh, no, not me. Nope, we're waiting for someone to finally just have the guts to go fight him. David said, okay, I will. Is there not a cause? He said. So he tried to get the Saul tried to put his armor on him. It was too big for him, so he threw it off, and he went with what his tried and true weapon was, that sling. He took 5 stones. Now, if you know this, but Goliath had 4 brothers. He took 5 stones. Just in case Goliath's brothers got angry when David killed Goliath. So David took his sling and 5 stones, and he went to go met the giant, and the giant saw him, and he mocked him. Oh, and he laughed. He laughed. He goes, this is the guy you're going to send me? And I won't get into the rest of the story for time's sake. We know how it ends. Goliath didn't win that battle. You know why? Because somebody had courage. What about Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? What their names were changed to. But those 3 Hebrew boys, they showed courage when everyone else bowed down to the image of Nebuchadnezzar. when that music played, everyone was commanded to bow down to that golden image. But guess what? Well, everyone else knelt. There those three boys stood. And guess what? The king was angry. But he gave him another chance. He said, oh, maybe he didn't hear the music. And the music played for the second time. But guess what? They refused to bow down. You know what they had? Courage. Yeah, they knew they were going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. And they faced possible death. But we know how that story ends. Yeah, they were thrown in the fiery furnace, but when they looked inside that furnace, there they were walking around, and there wasn't just three in there anymore. There was four. He said the form of the fourth was like the Son of God. I don't know about you, but there's not many people in the Old Testament that got to say they got to walk with Christ. But they did. You know why? Because of their courage. And I need to hurry. I got one more point, and I need to be done already. But I can give you story after story after story in the Word of God of individuals who had courage when no one else would. What about you? If your friends, your closest friends, came up to you and started bad-mouthing God and using foul language and making fun of you go to church, what would you do? You know, hold on. It's easy for you to say while you're in church, oh, I would tell them to stop it. Would you really, though? Or would you kind of go along with them? Because after all, they're your really good friends. When you're in school and you're at work, who are going to be young people to say, no, 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 this is the line. I'm not crossing that line. I'm taking a stand when no one else will. That means when the dirty jokes start being told, maybe you'll pipe up and say, hey, 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 let's knock that off. When someone starts listening to that ungodly music or showing ungodly pictures or all those different things, who's going to be the one to say, hey, you know what? We shouldn't be doing that. That's wrong. Maybe when cheating's going on or something, or lying or theft or whatever, maybe you need to be the one to step up and say, we're not going to do that. Or there's going to be consequences. You better knock it off. Be firm. And yeah, you might get people who are going to oppose you. You might get people who aren't going to be take too kindly with you taking a stand. Let me tell you something, though. You're doing the right thing for the cause of Christ. And you might make enemies here. I'd rather make enemies here than have someone a whole lot more powerful upset at me. It's a scary thing to fall into the hands of a living God. You might think your friends are scary if you turn on them. Yeah, God is gracious and he's merciful and he's long-suffering. I thank God about that. But God is also righteous. God is also holy. God is also just. And there's only so much sin before God says, okay, enough's enough. Something needs to be done. Who's going to have the courage? Let's do number four, and I'm done. And I have like 3 minutes before I need to be done. So listen quickly. So number one, you need to have commitment. Number two, you need to have godly character. Number three, you need to have courage. And number four, if we're going to understand what it takes to live for God and really be dedicated to him, and this might be the most important point of them all. Because if you don't have this point, it's going to be harder to have the other 3 points. Number four, we need to have compassion. When you love something, you will make time for that thing. I don't care what it is. You name them your favorite thing to do. Playing video games, shopping, fishing, hunting, painting, reading a book, whatever it is. Your number one favorite thing to do. You'll make time for it. Every single time. Hey, you love playing sports? You'll make sure you're at the practices. Man, you love that sport, you'll make sure you practice at home even when you're not practicing at school. Why? Because you love it. Why do people play video games for hours and hours and hours on end? Because they love it. Why do people hunt for hours and hours and hours on end? Because they love it. Why do people fish for hours and hours and hours on end? Because they love it. Why do people go shopping and all the... Because they love it. And when you love something, you will always sacrifice the time to do that thing. Same thing's true with the things of God. If you really love God, you will sacrifice the time needed to serve God and to live for God. Could it be we're not doing the other 3 points because we don't really love God as much as we think we do? I guarantee you, you don't love God, you're not going to want to have courage for Him. You don't love God, you could care less about having godly character. You don't love God, you could care less about being committed to Him. But if you really love God, you'll be more committed. You'll have more courage, and you'll want to maintain a godly character. If we don't have compassion and have the love of God upon us and really understand the love that God gives to us and how we ought to reciprocate that or give that back, that's something we need to understand and hide in our hearts and apply to our lives. But not only that, it goes a step further. As you love God more, you'll be more willing to show compassion toward others. Let me ask you, young person, when's the last time you shared Christ with anybody? When's the last time you told anyone you were a Christian? If you are a Christian, maybe tonight you don't know Christ as your Savior. You can get that settled tonight and realize Jesus is the only way to heaven. Being at this youth rally doesn't put a notch in your belt and say, well, I can go to heaven now because I went to a youth rally tonight. That doesn't get you to heaven. Baptism doesn't get you to heaven. Being a good person doesn't get you to heaven. Putting money in an offering plate doesn't get you to heaven. It's only the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. If you're depending on something else tonight, newsflash, I'm sorry. You've been misinformed and misled your whole life. It is only by the blood of Christ. It's the reason why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I close with this statement. If you're not telling people about Christ, if you don't have courage, you don't have godly character, you're not committed, maybe you don't love God as much as you think you do, or say you do. Do you realize you can come to a youth rally and not love God? You can go to church on Sunday and not love God. You can have a Bible and not love God. Those are all great things. But none of those things mean you really love God. That's a personal commitment you have to make. And it takes sacrifice. Just like my wife. I love her. But I have to sacrifice for her and spend time with her. And make sure she has money to go shopping with so she's happy. No, I'm just kidding. But the thing is this. I can tell her I love her all I want. But eventually, you know what I'm going to have to do? Show her. You can say how much you love God all you want, but how about you show him? How about you finally demonstrate how much you love him? Start getting serious about being committed to God, having godly character, having godly courage, and having enough compassion that as you love God, you start sharing it with others as well. I'm looking at young people who can literally turn this world upside down for Christ. You might be sitting here and think, God, Brother Kyle, you don't understand. God can't use me. Oh, yes, he can. And he wants to. All you got to do is be committed, have godly character, have courage, and have compassion. I guarantee you live and follow those four things, God can do anything with you. Anything. The sky's the limit. We serve an omnipotent, all-powerful God. God can take anything and turn it into something amazing. What about you tonight, young person? Let's pray.